The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesday nights are for professional wrestling, and of course it means Pro Wrestling Unscripted is back again. I will be your host for the evening, the five-star man, Asa Gray, checking in here with you. And of course, joining me again tonight is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And it's been a week of news, some cool, some bad. Of course, the big takeaway is the Survivor Series was, of course, on Sunday. And with it was a solid pay-per-view. We'll talk about the event and the matches more towards the end of the show. But the big takeaway is the Undertaker's final farewell.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, essentially. And it was weird. Right? Like, it's...
Yeah, there was a lot... There's a lot to unpack with that as a whole, from the production to like what they did and then how they choose, like the choices they made were all choices is the way I can say it.
Cause nothing was great. It was technically the main event. And so the final match happens. They then bring out a bunch of Undertaker's closest friends in the industry. You know, they bring out Godfather, Savio Vega, Rikishi. I'm not going to name everybody because I just won't be able to remember everybody. But they bring out a ton of people, including Kane, who is the only one in gear.
You're wrong.
Who else was in their gear?
The Godwins were.
Yep, you're right, the Godwins. Godwins...
I mean, in fairness, that might just be their regular clothing. I don't know for sure, but Kane was definitely in full gimmick.
Yeah, he was, like, mask, singlet, everything. They were just wearing... Yeah, they were wearing coveralls, which was a little less egregious. I thought it was kind of weird that they had them... Because it was weird that they came out, you know, relatively in character, but, like, was it Phineas? Phineas I that was
ends up being Midian.
That was Midian. I forget.
I feel like you're right, but
I'm pretty sure it is, but I can't. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, like, why would he not come out as Midian if he's gonna come out like in character? I don't understand it. But doesn't matter. So
he was. Yeah, Phineas was Midian.
You're okay, right. That's what I thought. Again, I gotta stop second guessing myself. But then at the same time, like, how many times do I think of something and then the next week it's like, okay, so here's what I was very wrong about. So they bring out a bunch of people that are the Undertaker's friends, members of the Bone Street crew.
Which I'm super happy we talked about that last week. And, like, I don't know if we hit Bone Street Crew, but we definitely got Bone and Street right.
Yeah, I don't think we completely landed on it, but we got two out of the three for sure.
Yeah.
So they bring everybody out, and then they cut to a video package, and then everyone's gone, except for Vince McMahon, who then who gives a pretty nice speech. Like, it wasn't anything... Honestly, I don't know what would be fitting for The Undertaker because, you know, he's synonymous with professional wrestling. And more so, he's synonymous with the WWE. So, like, whatever they do for him is not going to quite feel like it's enough, I think. But anyway, yeah. So they give him the video package. Vince says some words. You can tell how emotional he is. Like, he's fighting back tears the whole time he's speaking. And then Undertaker makes his entrance, including them playing a rendition of his theme on a Tesla coil.
Oh my God. I think what we were texting each other the entire time, and my comment was, they found a synthesizer from the same year he debuted. That was god awful. I forgot about that until you just brought it up.
Yeah. So, and I don't, so like on the one hand, like it's a cool idea, but I don't know if it necessarily came off like how they were hoping it would.
That would be a cool thing for Retribution.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if it'd really be a cool thing for anybody.
I know, but who would it be better for? Retribution or Taker's Farewell?
Taker, because, quick, hum Retribution's entrance music.
Oh, I can't. I'm there just you saying.
Go. Because even with the quality of the coil, you could tell what it was. Because the Undertaker's entrance is iconic, and you'll always remember it. Which, granted, yeah, it's a ripoff of the Funeral March, but neither here nor there. Doesn't matter. And then the Undertaker comes out in full gear and cuts a promo in character in the Undertaker voice, where he essentially says it's time for him to let the Undertaker rest in peace. And then he walks to the back, and that was it. And yeah. I know that I literally got on to you last week about having to let go of this should have been done, saying things should be done in front, should have been held until we're back in front of a live crowd.
Yeah.
This very much should have been. Undertaker deserved to have an actual audience witness his farewell.
A live crowd.
They
even turned off the Thunderdome for it. Like, there wasn't...
Yeah, there weren't the fans in the background. Like, they gave him his own, like, it was a graveyard backdrop, which looked fine. It looked cool. But they still piped in the chants and, like, the thank you Taker chants. And it was so weird. And it was just like, man, this is a guy who has given so much and has done so much for this company. And he has to get piped in cheers because they can't perform. And in my defense of, you know, doing this total 180, I think it's different between debuting someone and sending someone away. Because at a certain point, are people still going to care about Matt Hardy if they had held off more than a year for him to show up in AEW or FTR or Brody Lee or any of like the NXT like call-ups? We don't know. But if this is the Undertaker's final farewell, it's 30 is a nice round number for his Survivor Series debut. I get that. But you couldn't have been, you know, 31. Like, you couldn't have waited until next year, you know, hopefully, and we have crowds again. Like, why is it? And especially because...
Well, so the thing of it is, Asa, is they like that number because it's... It's very memorable. You get that nice zero at the end of it. You can do something with it. Whereas if it's just like Undertaker's 31 years, he's going to have to probably, he would more than likely have to have another match in that time.
No.
Not saying he would have to, but like if he's like, well, I'm not completely retired yet, so I should probably do at least one more Mania before I do the final farewell. Like, again, we're dealing with Undertaker. And we both watched the Last Ride documentary series.
Oh yeah,
like,
and that's what I'm saying.
Even in his retirement documentary series, he said, "Well, I mean, the break of emergency situation."
And that's what I even said. Like when everybody was making their entrances, like for all those people that were coming out, of just like, "Oh, they're going to do this for another 20 minutes. It's time for the Undertaker to come out." He was laid out backstage, and there's a WrestleMania match. They obviously didn't go with that, but I disagree with him having to have another match because again, 30, nice round number. It's clean. It's ready to go. It doesn't sound as good as on his on the 31st anniversary of his debut. Now we are letting him go. The only reason that I could think of that they would want to hold off on it is if he wasn't already doing this huge media tour as Mark Calloway.
Mark Calloway. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was so jarring. To on Friday on my lunch break, I watched his episode of Hot Ones on YouTube, and then on Sunday he's back in and he's the Undertaker and he's in character and he's using the voice, and I'm just like, this doesn't they should have waited to put out the last Ride documentary after this, Like, if they would have built this as, you know, okay, this is the final farewell to the Undertaker, and then as soon as he says, it's time to lay the let the Undertaker rest in peace, then all of a sudden, oh, hey, now he's got this documentary where you can see the man underneath the hat, the man behind the curtain. Oh, he's doing this thing he's doing all these interviews. Oh, he has a clothing line with Snoop Dogg. You know, and so it was weird pacing. And again, they're billionaires. I'm not. What the hell do I know? But it was kind of jarring going from seeing who Mark Calloway actually is for the first time ever. And now we're all of a sudden just rubber banding straight back to, oh, nope, back to The Undertaker. But just for now, and then probably never again. Maybe, we'll see, because it's been so many, you know, there's been so many kind of falsies that at this point it's very much a we'll believe it when we see it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even be a little shocked, if we don't have one matches with Mark Calloway. Like, no. I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I'm just saying it would not surprise me even a little.
I think it's way more likely he does some non-wrestling stuff with W, like what we talked about, like general manager last week as Mark Calloway instead. But like I don't think he could perform as anything else other than Undertaker.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those where the whole laying the character to rest thing, I'm just like, ooh, that's a slippery slope to say. If you want me to expect him to never wrestle again.
We're being shitty about it. It could be very likely that we have seen the Undertaker's last match.
If it was, that's the match to go out on. The Boneyard match.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, that end it there. Cause that was amazing.
I do think though that we are 100% going to get at least two more appearances. One, maybe a Survivor Series down the line, once there's fans back, to give him that proper, like, fan reaction farewell.
Mm-hmm.
And two, his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah. Which, man, let the man be Mark Calloway for that.
Oh, he will be. I think he has to be. And that was the thing that I was really kind of looking forward to. I was kind of hoping we would get something like that on Sunday. So I just need to, like, rewatch it now that I know what to expect. But I don't think it's going to be that much better. That was the wrong way of phrasing that. I don't think I will like it any more the second time than I did on the first time.
My issue with it was they brought out all of his friends, and then they just left.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about him. They didn't, like, none of them got to speak. None of them. It was just, it was weird. Because then, yeah, you parade him out, and then they left. And it was also kind of funny to see, because it's worth mentioning that we say Kane and the Godwins were the only ones in gimmick. Jeff Hardy also came out with his face painted with the Undertaker logo. And Corey Graves was having none of it. What did he say? He said something about, like,
he was like, out of respect for the Undertaker, or like his iconic design.
It was something about, like,
back into our group chat, or in our chat.
Because it was something about, like, because someone said, oh, he's out of respect to the Undertaker. And Graves just repeated it. And it's like, yeah, the utmost respect. And it was just dripping with,
out of Graves saying out of respect, and you can hear the disdain in his voice.
Yeah, that's what it's just like, okay.
And then the follow-up was yes, which I know was in reference to Godfather, because then your response was no hoes, 0 out of 10.
Yep, absolutely. Not gonna bring the train, then why bring the man? But it was interesting. I would have liked to see something maybe more meaningful. We did get a very, very touching thing where the Undertaker, after he gave his speech, he goes down to one knee, strikes the iconic pose, and Paul Bearer image appears, and then you hear one last, you know, oh yes, I'm not even going to try to do the voice.
Yeah.
But it, that was actually pretty touching. Like, I liked that. But what did you guys think? Let us know. Talk to us, please. We're desperate for human connection.
And not saying that it was like bad, like I'm happy they did this for him. I just, the perfect one they did, which was ruined by the individual, was Ric Flair's like retirement night, where all those people came to the ring and then he came out with them and he shared a moment with them and then this, that, and another. That was great.
Yeah. And this, they didn't, cause yeah, Undertaker was never in the ring with these people who came out to, you know, pay tribute to him.
Yeah. It was all very weirdly done.
It was just weird is the best way to describe it. But yeah, so Undertaker's final farewell, it left me more interested here in a few months when we get the WWE 24.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think like that's going to be, cause now that you've given me that The Last Ride and you've given me that taste behind the curtain, that's what I want to see. I want more of that because that was genuinely like fascinating stuff. So, but moving on, cause there is other stuff to talk about, including what I think is the best news of the week, at least for me. And that is Xavier Woods, Austin Creed, has officially joined the relaunching G4 network. And if you are unaware, because I've seen a lot of confusion about this, but if you're unaware, G4 was a cable network years ago that was dedicated to video games.
Many moons ago.
There was Tech TV, and then there was G4, and then they merged, and they became G4 Tech TV. And then it just shortened back to G4. And it was dedicated to video games. X-Play was great. Attack of the Show was great. Cheat, which is something you couldn't do now, because, like, imagine a 30-minute show dedicated to just video game cheat codes. They're not a thing anymore. It's all DLC. Old man yells at cloud. Anyway, they're relaunching G4. We don't know in what capacity. We don't know what it's going to be. But last night, there was a live stream of a video where they brought a bunch of the G4 cast together with Ron Funches moderating it, essentially. It was all scripted, but it was genuinely a fun watch, I think, especially if you enjoyed the... If you enjoy G4, like if you remember G4 and you liked it, you'll more than likely enjoy this. But it was Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb from X-Play. It was Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn from Attack of the Show. And then they had the host of Cheat, who I'm completely... I think it's Kathy something. I'm blanking on her name. And then...
I think it was definitely Kathy, but yeah.
And then Blair Herter, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. Who also did like Attack of the Show stuff, and he I think is in charge of it now. But it turns out, and I'm gonna spoil this because I feel like if you weren't watching it last night, you probably don't care that much. So skip ahead a ways if you really care. But it turns out that Ron Funches was secretly an intern, and it was a running gag that X-Play abused their interns terribly. So he takes off the shirt, revealing the intern shirt underneath it, and he locks them all in his basement where he's having this Thanksgiving dinner for them, / hosting this panel, and starts to fill the room with gas that is going to kill them and preserve them so he can keep them as human action figures. So they're all trapped, they can't get out, and then someone breaks the door down. It's Xavier Woods, who breaks the door down, rescues them, beat happens, and then, like, the post-credits scene, quote-unquote, is Kevin starts looting the set, because he's like, you know, if you don't take the props home, they just throw them away, right? So all of this is ours. Takes a big bite out of the turkey leg, and he's like, oh yeah, that's cold, and then just, like, walks off. So then Blair and Xavier, the final two, they're like, okay, let's get out of here. And Blair's like, oh, hold up. And he hands Woods a briefcase and then just walks out. Woods like, what's this? And then he takes it, he smiles, he takes it and leaves. And then on Xavier Woods' stream, they show the video of him opening up the case, and it's just this like G4 plaque, kind of like it's an engraving thing, and it releases its power and you know, goes into him, and then that's the reveal of Austin Creed, Xavier Woods will be a host for G4. We don't know what the show is going to be. We don't know, like, what capacity. We still don't even know, like, what the is it a YouTube channel? Is it going to be a streaming service? Is it going to be a network television thing? Is it going to be on satellite? We have no idea what it is yet. But it's something that Xavier Woods has petitioned for hard, because from the second that they even did their little teaser announcing that G4 was coming back in some capacity, he started the hashtag Creed4G4 and was like, I have to be a part of this. I have to be a part of this. Like, this is something I have to do. And the internet rallied around him, and it did enough that they eventually took notice, and now they've since hired him. Oh, I forgot probably the most important part. So once he breaks the door down and rescues them, he gives them a really nice speech about, like, what G4 meant to him, because he's like, I knew no matter how bad of a day I had at school, I could come home and I could see these faces. Granted, they weren't faces that looked like my face. And some of the bits were really not okay. Like, not okay. Like, no, not okay. And, like, he just gets drawn out for another, like, 30 seconds. But it was kind of a nice little call out, because that was the thing when it was announced that G4 was coming back, of it's just like, cool. Y'all remember that G4 was just a lot of real white dude bro, not super cool humor around it too, right? And, like, the culture apparently wasn't fantastic. So, but it looks like they've learned from past mistakes, and they are going to be diversifying. Rihanna from, I know she's doing stuff with, like, What's Good Games. She announced that she's working with them as well. So I'm optimistic about it. Like, I'm really looking forward to what G4 is going to be. I'm most looking forward to seeing what Austin Creed does with it, though, because this is so cool. I'm so happy about this.
Yeah, it's really cool to see. Like, I loved G4 as a kid. I watched X-Play every day after I got home from school. I watched X-Play. And then, like, I would watch maybe another show or two. And then I, for some reason, just couldn't get into Attack of the Show. Don't know why. Couldn't do it. But yeah, no, that, like, X-Play was always my jam. The other review show they did with the two dudes, I can't think of what it was called, but they had, like, another one. Like, if they had a review show or cheat, I would watch those.
It's Digital Underground. No.
Yeah.
It's
no?
Something Underground. Electric Playground. Electric Playground.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. I would watch that all the time. And then they would always have the, like, trailers and demos of games. And, like, their E3 coverage was always, like, I got super excited anytime E3 came around, because I was like, oh, I get, like, 24-hour coverage the entire time.
And it was awesome, too, because that was really kind of, beforehand, for me at least, I knew what E3 was, and I knew when it was happening, but I didn't get to see it. Like, I had to wait until Game Informer came out, like, a month or two later to see all of the big reveals and stuff. And then, all of a sudden, wait, you mean I can see it live? Like, I can see these things as they're happening? What? The future is here. This is as good as it's gonna get. But it very much got better. And let me see. So, oh, I had a question for you that was gonna be about G4.
Did you forget it?
It's gone. It is.
That's unfortunate.
It is just.
I do remember one of my favorite and least favorite things from G4 was the random shows that were not game-related. And I'm not talking about, like, Cops or Cheaters or anything like that. But they had some that were, like, I feel like were only on G4. It was the only time I ever heard about them or saw them. They had, like, a cop spy show of undercover police officers. And I'm going to try to figure out what that show was called. Because I do remember really being into that show,
like,
for some reason.
It would be a terrible idea to have a camera crew follow around an undercover.
No, well, yeah, no, it was obviously, like, a scripted show. But, like, Fastlane, that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that was a Fox show.
I mean, more than likely.
Because a bunch of those shows, because at a certain point, G4 did kind of get, I don't know if it got bought out or new management or whatever, but they changed it from, like, a gamer network to trying to be, like, the new Spike TV. I think it was Esquire bought them out. And it turns out that the, you know, say what you will about, oh, G4 is nothing but cops reruns and cheaters marathons. Well, the MF-er, that's what people were watching. The cops reruns and the cheaters reruns and all of that were what was actually driving audiences and allowing the shows that we actually liked to be on the air. So, so that's why it's very, very interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see, like, what happens, like, with this. My money's on a YouTube channel. It wouldn't surprise me if it was just a full-on streaming service, though. But I don't know what they would have to justify spending money on it.
Yeah. I mean, when you have YouTube channels like Good Mythical Morning and stuff like that, that can put out daily content and then have offshoot channels, mm-hmm. and they're all doing super successful, there's no reason that, like, G4 wouldn't thrive as a YouTube channel.
Yeah, and it could, especially initially, but it's just that, you know, what kind of sustainability will it have now that we're in 2020? Yeah. But anyway, we've already spent almost a half hour just talking about The Undertaker and G4, two things that were dead but then came back. speaking of went away and then came back, NWA has announced a new weekly show. NWA Shockwave will debut on the YouTube channel next Tuesday. We don't really have, which is going to be December 1st. Not a lot of details that I could find about what this was going to be. So I'm glad to see that NWA is back, though. I thought they had a really, really solid roster and they were doing some really cool things. But now that, you know, there's so much speculation about, like, what people are doing. You know, Ricky Stark signed with AEW. Thunder Rose has been there, you know, for however long at this point. Like, the NWA Women's Championship is getting as much of, if not more than, a spotlight on Dynamite than the AEW Women's Championship. And James Storm being back at Impact Wrestling. So, don't know if it's going to be just kind of like a empty arena shows like what Impact is doing. If they're going to do limited crowd like AEW and WWE. If it's going to be just a straight up wrestling weekly show again. They were doing the, what was the name of it? But it was like
Power.
No. The one that followed Power, where it was all from home, and it was the they were a city and they were all like different members of the. They were all different members of the community.
I couldn't tell you.
Because it was a wild concept. And I can't... I don't know. I'll have to try to look it up later, but... Because, again, it was weird. Nope. Okay. I can't find it. I just try to do a real quick Google while we're filling dead air. Hey.
Oh yeah. No, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I want to skip that one real quick and then we'll circle back around to it. WWE has settled the Saudi Arabia lawsuit out of court. That is the, if you remember, we talked about this a few months ago, there were a number of lawsuits, levied against WWE following or regarding their deal with Saudi Arabia. This one was the one that alleged that WWE misled shareholders about the nature and the status of the relationship with the Saudi royal family following the incidents that occurred at the last, or well, it's not the last one, but the Saudi show with the travel nightmare that happened. Mm-hmm. Because they were, oh no, we've gotten the money and everything's cool. It wasn't a Saudi decision to lock the plane down. Essentially, it was just mechanical problems. But then WWE, they settled it out of court, which means they didn't want it to go to court. So, just a little interesting update on that scenario there.
Always a good look.
If Austin Creed joining G4 was the best news of the week, this is certainly the saddest. Bob Ryder was found deceased in his home today, actually. And you may not recognize that name, but you probably should. He is one of the co-founders of TNA, and he was working as a and he did a bunch of different, he wore a lot of different hats for the company all the way up until still recently. Like, he was still acting as a producer, even still. And the Impact roster, you probably, like, if you're listening to this, you probably follow at least one person from Impact Wrestling. So you've probably seen a lot of people talking about just what a delight he was. Like, everything that I'm seeing so far is that he was such just a stand-up guy, so supportive of not just the roster, but all of the employees there at TNA and at Impact. And there is a, if you go to the Impact Wrestling Twitter right now, there is a very, very nice statement that links to the Impact Wrestling website that's written by Ed Nordholm and Scott D'Amore about his passing, just kind of summarizing like what he meant to the company and how important he was. And this is the, I want to read just the last couple paragraphs here, because I just think it's very, very sweet. To the end of his life, Bob was a loyal, trusted, hardworking, and beloved member of the Impact Wrestling family. He was also infuriatingly and endearingly stubborn. That stubbornness steeled him in his battle against his illness. It surprised none of us who knew and loved Bob that he outlived his diagnosis by years. During that entire time, Bob insisted on continuing to contribute to Impact. He refused every offer to take time off or a sabbatical, even after chemotherapy sessions. He wanted, needed to be involved. There are a lot of people who live for pro wrestling. With Bob, it may have been literal. Impact Wrestling will be celebrating Bob's life in the days and weeks to come. We think about the best way we will think about the best way to honor him and the legacy he left us. For now, we will take a moment to say farewell to a member of our family. We'll never forget you, Bob, Ed Nordholm, and Scott D'Amore. And not a lot to say on this one, other than just our hearts and thoughts are going out to Bob's family, Bob's colleagues, Bob's friends, just everybody. So fuck cancer is really all that's left to say there.
Super fucking hard.
So this is the part that I hate, and I never envied Shannon having to like navigate around going like, hey, fun showtime to, okay, legit serious, like bad news to, okay, back to rest of the news. So,
oh, well, good news is the next one is sad adjacent. So it's not going to be the hardest slide to go into. Ready?
Is it sad adjacent?
Well, it's about Shad. Like, it's not sad, but it's like, that was something that happened this year.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, no, I think this is a good story, ultimately.
It's a good story. Yes. Yeah.
Circumstances around it are, but you know, it's the story itself is good. And that is that Dave Meltzer and the WON are going to be naming a new award after Shad Gaspard, who, of course, tragically drowned, giving his life to his son. And just dear Lord. But this award is going to be it's the Shad Gaspard Award for outstanding for outside the ring contributions to the betterment of society, which that is a fantastic way to honor his memory. Just like, good on ya, Dave Meltzer.
Yeah. Especially since we know that WWE has that lovely Warrior Award that should be changed to the Shad Gaspard Award. I'm happy that Dave is going to actually do it instead of WWE not doing it.
That's actually something I was going to bring up is because I think it was
JTG brought it up.
Excuse me. Yeah, it was JTG mentioned that he thought that Shad should win the Warrior Award this year. But I saw a handful of people on Reddit, on Twitter, like elsewhere, that I really like their idea of saying, no, WWE should rename the Warrior Award after Shad. Yeah. And to me personally, it's hard to disagree with that. Like, one, the Warrior Award, for what he wanted it to be, I think is a really good idea. And I would love to actually see that be implemented. For those who don't know, the Ultimate Warrior initially wanted this award to be for people behind the scenes who don't get the recognition as the people who, you know, we see every week on television as performers. So, like, you know, producers, cameramen, directors, writers, things like that. And then, of course, WWE would do this, but of course we know since then what has happened, where WWE has kind of moved it away from that and more to spotlight, you know, charitable people and outstanding brand ambassadors, things like that. And it's hard to disagree that for what the Warrior Award has become, I think Shad Gaspard is a much better fit.
Yeah. Because we've only had three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Connor from Connor's Cure, Eric LeGrand, which was the football player that was paralyzed on the field, and then Joan London, who was, I believe she actually was. Oh, no, she was just I'm not going to say just a, but she was a journalist.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know what she did to win that award.
Wasn't she with Susan G. Komen?
That would be a good thing that they would put her with. Yes,
I don't
know for sure, but she also publicly speaks in. I'm on her Wikipedia right now.
Okay,
because I completely forgot about that. It's on her hosting and other work. The bottom of it says she's also a public speaker in breast cancer awareness advocacy. Which could be with Susan G. Komen. I don't know for sure, but that would not surprise me if it was.
Yeah, I am. I'm not sure. I could be. I feel like that was the WWE connection. It was there because they work with Susan G. Komen a lot, yeah. But I don't remember exactly what it was that like led her to them to that award. But
yeah, because like I will say the Connor winning it the first year of it was pretty touching. But I honestly haven't cared since. Not saying that these aren't great people that have won it. It's just, it's not the wrestling people that I'm sure Warrior would have wanted it to be.
And it's a good, like, and I mean, even still, like, it's a good, even if it's not what he necessarily wanted it to be, it's still a nice little spotlight for people who are ultimately doing good. Which I will say that, you know, we could use more of just in general.
Yeah.
So, let's see. But yeah, so the Dave Meltzer Award, which be interesting to see who gets it. Like, the first name that comes to mind for me personally is Titus O'Neil.
Yeah.
That
dude deserves every award just for the amount of good he's done in the world.
Yeah, like, because I saw it was like Titus O'Neil, John Cena for all of his Make-A-Wish stuff. You know, there's a ton of people that are doing good outside of wrestling. So, but it's a great idea. It's a great idea, and it is going to an awesome person. Let's see. Top Flight has signed with AEW officially. They had their tag match against the Young Bucks last week. They're going to be back on this week as well, I believe, against it's the team that I really like, Jack Evans and, holy crap,
Jalessica?
Yeah, but I can't remember what their Alpha 2? Alpha 1?
I think it's Alpha 2, but I could be wrong.
I'm pretty sure it had 2 in it. Why can I not remember their AEW name?
I'm on it. Maybe, possibly. Yeah.
Look at that. Just look, like, Googled Top Flight AEW Dynamite, because I'm pretty sure, because they have their match tonight. I'm just completely blanking on the team name, because they attacked them after the match. But that's cool for them. They are the... Ooh, I'm pretty sure they are still the Glory Pro tag champs.
Yeah, I think they are. The Hybrid 2.
Hybrid 2. Hybrid 2. Thank you.
Yeah, that's Jack Evans and Angelico.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's super cool for them. I think they're a really, really talented team. They are also crazy young. So, like,
I think that
was something that the Young Bucks had mentioned, is it's just like, or it was someone did an interview about them and they mentioned it's like, so we're just like, we have them now and there's this good now. Imagine how they're going to be in 5 years when they really grow into themselves as performers. And it's just like, yeah, it's hard to argue against that logic.
Yeah. And it's just a really smart signing. For them, just because Now you just need to really build up that tag division, because right now AEW is poised to have the best tag division in wrestling, but you have like three top teams and you really need to pad that out more.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, yeah, all of your teams besides a couple of them are all faces. You're adding another one, but at least now you have a younger group of just like, oh, these people can learn and grow as a team. You have a tag team that can be on top for 8-10 years now.
Right.
Give them 2 years to kind of learn, 2 to 3 years to learn, grow. And now you have two amazing talents that you can build another amazing division around.
But I'm excited to see like what they do. I think they're really, really good. I haven't seen them live, but I have caught a little bit of their stuff like on YouTube just out of like word of mouth. So very, very excited to see what else is to come from them. I'm going to throw this in there just because you put it into the Discord. But Gronk is apparently either currently playable or will be playable in WWE Battlegrounds.
He sure is. I don't know if he's... I got rid of my copy, although I may rebuy it because it's $15 right now on Black Friday. But Gronk is either, yeah, like you said, in the game or is going to be in the game, which is awesome. Because he has that super sweet WWE Elite out right now.
With the matching gear, so at least that's consistent.
Well, he's only worn one thing in WWE, so that works.
Yeah, so
God, I hate everything.
There you go. Gronk in Battlegrounds.
Where he belongs.
Some more good news. It looks like WWE has started to bring back some of the producers that they furloughed at the during the pandemic, which Shane Helms has apparently was backstage at Survivor Series and at Raw as a working as a producer, and also Fit Finlay is set to return again in the agent producer role. Which did you see the story of it was Ricky Starks when he did the TNT title open challenge match with Cody?
And then WWE called right after.
WWE called him that day, and his response was just like, oh, okay, today of all days, huh? So it's very much like, okay, so Helms shows up at the last pay-per-view in the Sammy Guevara-Matt Hardy match, and now, oh, nope, now he's back.
Which, like, for somebody like Helms, who is not an active wrestler anymore, good for him.
Right.
Because, like... It's not like with Starks where he can wrestle for a couple years, and then if he wants to go to WWE, if that door is open, he can take it. Like, Shane, like, I don't know how good AEW is on producers, but they have a pretty good set right now. I don't know if they would necessarily need a Helms as much as, like, WWE being like, no, we got rid of most of our people, so we could get Shane back.
Start bringing people back, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, glad to see more people, you know, getting work, especially being let go during a pandemic from a company who is seeing record profits. Ha ha. Let's see, before we get into Survivor Series, and then Chris Jericho has launched a clothing line. If you go to painmaker.store, it will take you to the shop. Not bad designs. It's a little bit more expensive than I would be willing to pay for merch, but... It's there. It doesn't look terrible. Like, the stuff's not bad by any stretch, especially compared to, like, your average wrestling merchandise.
Yeah.
But not a ton to say there. Real quick, before we get into Survivor Series, one thing that I remembered what I wanted to ask you about Xavier Woods joining G4, and it wasn't about G4 at all. It was about WWE, because the record profits thing reminded me. How much... It seems like it's a tale of two WWEs, because on one hand you have people like Zelina Vega, Paige, AJ Styles, Cesaro, like, okay, you can't stream on Twitch anymore. You're not allowed to do these deals. And then on the other hand, you have Xavier Woods with Up Up Down Down, which we know is owned by WWE. We don't know necessarily the nature of that agreement. You know, let's say if Xavier Woods does leave WWE, does he have the option to, you know, buy it out from them? Like, does WWE retain all of that? Like, because Woods said in his live stream, this G4 thing is about he wants to make sure that he has something once wrestling is done.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned that he wanted to show people that it's okay, other people like other wrestlers, that it's okay to build your own brand and to, you know, have something else that you can do. But then you have a them working for a company who does everything in their power to be like, oh, actually, no, you can't. We're the only thing in your life. We're the only thing that you can rely on.
Yeah.
So what do you think? And again, this is all baseless speculation from two people who have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. But what do you think WWE's involvement with this G4 stuff is?
Probably very minor. I think the thing with Xavier Woods versus the Twitch channels and all of that is that Xavier Woods is going through very, how should I say it? Very corporate ways of progressing his brand and his name, which makes WWE look good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Twitch channels and the Zelina Vega OnlyFans, which again, I know is just cosplay, I'm just saying, like those situations are very personal ways to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Like that money was just getting put in their, I don't know how Twitch does it, but like that money was just going in their pocket.
Right.
It was not benefiting WWE at all. There is no headline about WWE's athlete starts a Twitch channel. WWE gets no benefit from that. Whereas G4, beloved video game network, is starting up, is coming back, and WWE superstar Xavier Woods is going to be a host on whatever. That gets WWE's name out there. It's kind of like whenever The Rock was going into Hollywood in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Like, WWE allowed it and was cool with him doing it because they were getting positive publicity off of it for the short amount of time before he just went full not wrestling anymore. Xavier Woods is making WWE look good on a lot of fronts. We're probably going to see some video, like, montages in a year from now about Xavier Woods' show on G4 starting up and, like, the behind the scenes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to look good for WWE. It's a very corporate way to expand your brand, not a very private way that WWE sees no benefit out of.
Because it is worth noting, too, like, even G4's tweet about it is campaign complete, hashtag Creed4G4, welcome at WWE superstar Xavier Woods. And then they tag him as Austin Creed Wins because he has since updated all of his social media pages to be Austin Creed Wins, not, you know, it doesn't say Xavier Woods, future King of the Ring and absurdly long title collector to the G4 family. So yeah, it is very much, they're not skirting around saying Xavier Woods, like they're calling him by his wrestling name. So
yeah, it's very beneficial to WWE, whereas the Twitch channels weren't. I thought you were going to ask me what the difference was, and that was the answer I was prepared for.
So that's the one that you gave. No, I understand. I understand the difference because it's the same thing. You know, like Miz has, like Miz and Mrs., and he's doing that stuff with like USA Network. So it's not like it's. Words are hard and my brain just turned off. It's not like he's completely doing this solo. Like this wasn't a surprise to, he may have started the campaign about like, hey, I really want to work for G4. And that may have started without WWE knowing, but I think it's pretty clear. Like once things started to set in motion, you got to assume that he was like, hey, I want to do this. And granted, like, Xavier Woods has been with the company for so long. The New Day is done so much for WWE, just not only in longevity, but like they are one of the most decorated tag teams of all time at this point.
Yeah.
So we know that they have a lot of leeway with what they get to do, both in the ring and outside the ring.
Yeah, they have proven WWE that they can make them money despite themselves. So it's that whole thing of they also have just learned that they are not a company liability. They are, all three of them are company men. So they are they've been trusted to just do whatever and not put the company in a bad light.
Right. So, but that's cool. I'm You're not, I think you're right about it. Like, you know, this is just more advertising for, you know, having a second network where like, and plus I think the original parent companies are both NBC between like mm-hmm. USA and G4. So, but yeah, having that WWE logo on G4 is kind of cool.
Yeah. And that's good for them. Yeah. That is just good news for them in general. So.
But
it's like, again, I know we're back to G4. It's super cool that he is getting this opportunity.
Oh yeah. I completely understand that there's some people who don't really care about like video game stuff, but like we do, I do specifically, and this is a huge deal for me. So, I'm just excited about it, and I'm excited to see where it goes and when, what he gets to do. Like, I want to know what show he's working on. I'm not a patient person. I know that's going to be surprising to many of our listeners, but
yeah,
well I'm going to have to be. So, but then, well, let's wrap things up by talking about Survivor Series again. That was this past Sunday, and it was overall, I think it was a really solid show. I think there were some really, really great matches coming out of it. And then there was a couple things that I really, really hated. One of which being the 18-man dual brand battle royal, which was eventually won by The Miz. He protested his elimination. They determined he actually hadn't been eliminated. So after Dominic Mysterio thought he had won, Miz sneaks back in, eliminates Dominic. And that is that. The reason that I hate this so much is because the final four was... Well, the final four other than Miz, because we thought he was done, was Dominic Mysterio, Chad Gable, Jeff Hardy, and, wait, no. Dominic Mysterio, Chad Gable, Jeff Hardy, and, oh, who was the fourth one? Because they did what did I hate so much about it?
It was the Young versus Old instead of SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah, but who was the fourth one?
I cannot remember to save my life. I know the three that you said are correct, but I cannot think of who the fourth person was.
Wait, was it Miz?
They might have been counting Miz, yes.
It might have been Miz, but they do. It's Dominic Mysterio and Chad Gable, who are two SmackDown guys, against Jeff Hardy and I think it was Miz as two Raw guys. And instead of them focusing on the one night a year, the brand split doesn't matter. This is for brand superiority. Red versus blue, SmackDown versus Raw. Our brand is better than your brand, even though most of us were on the other show 2 weeks ago because the draft just happened. We have this fierce loyalty. And instead of focusing on, okay, Chad and Dominic are teaming up because they represent SmackDown, and Miz and Jeff Hardy are forming an unlikely alliance because they're Team Raw, they go with, oh, we've got the seasoned veterans in Jeff Hardy and The Miz going up against the young up-and-comers Dominic Mysterio and Chad Gable. And it's like, it's right there for you. It's so easy. This is the one time you can justify The Miz and Jeff Hardy working together. And you go up with that instead of the whole basis of this event now. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb. That was one of the things we were texting each other about that I was like, yeah, no, that was completely ignorant that they did it that way.
And again, I know it's just I'm beating a dead horse, and people, if you've listened to this show for, you know, the 12 years we've been doing it, I always get mad about the brand split and Survivor Series. But
it actually got mentioned on My 1-2-3 Cents 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, which I was going to talk about that. But yeah. Like, oh my God. But overall, like, the Battle Royale itself was fine. It was weird that, like, Nakamura was in it, but Cesaro wasn't. You know, Big E didn't have a match, but he wasn't in it. What happened to Lars Sullivan? Like, I kind of assumed he would win.
Yeah.
Just because he's not doing anything either. So, like, is he gone again, or what's going on there? But who knows? But The Miz won. Cool. Finally, the money in the bank holder doesn't just, you know, get his teeth kicked in.
Although I'm getting real tired of the whole, I didn't get eliminated, comes back in. Yeah. I won the battle royal. I'm like, that, it's the most basic way to end a battle royal nowadays. And it's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, just it's... let a battle royal happen.
you can let there be an actual just like winner.
Yeah. Doesn't like, always and I get have to that, be... like,
I get that it's story, like, it's basic storytelling of, well, he cheated and he's a bad guy, and we, like, that would have been booed in the, like, in front of the fans. Like, yeah, it would have been stupid in front of fans, too. I hate that so much. I hate that finish. I think I even texted you. I was like, I feel like this is the 83rd Battle Royal I've seen Miz win like that.
Yeah, it's, it happens a lot, it seems like, but... otherwise, the show proper kicks off with Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Riddle, with the clean sweep against Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and Otis. This was, it was fine for what it was. I don't understand a couple things that came out of it. Like, I thought the Seth Rollins, do your part, you know, sacrificing himself to Team Raw was interesting, but I also know that we're not going to get a payout. Like, we're not going to get a payoff for that for months, since he is allegedly going to be, that was going to be his final appearance because he's going to take his paternity leave, which he has earned. Totally fine with it. Not upset at Rollins at all. Just like,
yeah,
it's a hook, but are we going to, like, is he still loyal to, like, is he still the Monday Night Messiah, even though he's now on SmackDown? Like, was that what that was? Or was he leading by example? I don't know. That was weird. The only other problem is, like, we've spent so long having, or not so long, but like the last couple months have been built up about making Jey Uso a main event legitimate player, and to have him not get any eliminations was interesting. Like, it played into the whole, like, Roman doesn't want it to tolerate losers, and he was disgusted at Team SmackDown's performance. But, like, I feel like you could have told that exact same story, even if, like, and I think it would have been more effective if you would have had Jey barely lose
instead of down to the final, like, two or three, and then lose.
Yeah. Like, have him eliminate two, like, the, you know, it's 3-on-1. He eliminates two of the three, but then gets taken out and just barely loses. And then that's the, and then you have your, you know, a sole survivor for Team Raw. But not how it played out. We'll have to wait and see, like, what the, if there is any fallout from SmackDown on that. But because once Rollins went, they all pretty well, it feels like it wasn't too long after the fact. And there was some cool stuff in there. You know, I'm not trying to poo-poo on the whole thing, just...
No, it was a fine Survivor Series match. I get what you're saying, like, with what they've been trying to do, with what they, compared to what they did, it didn't feel like it would make a whole lot of sense to just have Jey in Team SmackDown just go straight 5-0, or 0-5. The only good thing about the way they did it was Rollins immediately put them at a deficit.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter what they tried, it only got worse. Like, I will say the ending flurry from Jey was really cool. And at least they did it in, like, the best way possible, where it was like, oh, he just jumped and Keith Lee caught him. Like, they at least ended it on the most believable ending.
Right.
Of, oh, yeah, no, and then just Keith Lee happened.
So, I'm looking at the times on Wikipedia, and yeah, I'm misremembering that, because the eliminations, the Seth Rollins went out at 6 minutes. The next elimination wasn't for another 6 minutes. So, and then it was like a 20 something minute match, but, or 19 minutes, 25. Anyway, we'll just have to watch SmackDown to see, like, what comes from there. I will say one of the things that I liked a lot was, Rollins was eliminated. Kevin Owens pulls everyone down and starts like, listen, they hate it. We don't like each other, but they also don't like each other. We just have to get along better than they can, and eventually they'll fall apart. And as he's like hyping up the team, Strowman drops off of the apron and just does his, you know, circle around the ring shoulder charge into everybody and just scatters them. I thought that was kind of funny. I loved that.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, at least the one thing I do appreciate about Survivor Series since they've been doing the brand versus brand is it is very much the team that does the best, or like the show that does the best, is the ones that can act like a team. Like, you remember last year, like, NXT just almost completely clean swept it all. But it's because their, like, hook was, we are a brand that is an actual, like, we will be cool with each other.
We matter. We are, you know, there is a sense of, you know, there is a sense of loyalty to NXT, but it's because there's been years of it being like, no, NXT is different. NXT is special. You know, and they even still had, you know, when Team NXT standing there tall, you had Ciampa staring daggers at Cole.
Yeah.
They still so very much didn't like each other suddenly. It was just like, okay, we got to prove NXT is equal. And then, you know, this year they're not even involved with the show, but you know. Yeah.
But what I'm getting at was like the Raw team, they did have that infighting, but during the match as a whole, like there was only like one or two shitty blind tag moments where they were like, no, I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, like they were cool with each other. Cause like AJ Styles, the captain, said like, we just got to get along through this.
Well, and even Strowman at a certain point was just like, we've got to work together. And like, they actually ended up doing it. So that was, they at least, you know, made that pay off a little bit, but
yeah, like I can at least appreciate that little amount of storytelling.
I just think the premise of Raw versus SmackDown feud is flawed.
Oh no, it's dumb.
It's just flawed in general. But anyway, moving on, champion versus champion match, the tag team champions faced off as the Street Profits defeated the New Day, that came out in their Gears of War entrance attire with Big E. That was amazing. I think might be my match of the night, even though the New Day lost. Like I loved this match a lot. This is the most that I've liked Angelo Dawkins. That weird like double underhook spinning final cut style neckbreaker thing he hit was real pretty, and I would love to see him continue to do that. Montez Ford, I've said it before, I will say it again every time we mention him, future WWE champion. Like,
oh yeah, the second him and Kofi were face to face in the ring, I looked at Sadie and said, I could watch this match for 5 years.
Yeah. It was a great match. This was the first time these teams have squared off, and I loved it. I thought this was great. New Day working more of the heel style, which was really nice to see, because I miss heel. Yeah, I do miss heel New Day. But yeah, so this was really, really good match and a really good win for the Street Profits. Because as much as I love the New Day and I want them to win all the time, always, they didn't need it here.
Yeah.
So
like
but,
it was that was something that, and I liked the promo that they said where it's just like, you're not handing us the torch, we're just gonna take it.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Like I liked that.
This was a really, really good legitimizing win for the Street Profits. The United States champion versus the Intercontinental champion, Bobby Lashley defeats Sami Zayn by submission. I thought this one told a pretty fun story, even though it was heel versus heel, of Sami trying to bait MVP Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin into attacking him so he could just win by DQ. And them not falling for it. And then the one time they actually do interfere is MVP throwing him back in the ring so Lashley can lock in the Hurt Lock. And I kind of was hoping Sami Zayn would win because I think he needs like a strong win. But at the same time, he plays the chicken shit heel so perfectly. Like, does he really need it? Probably not. But just a personal thing.
I really, 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 really wish that the ref would have called a DQ whenever he tripped over MVP's foot.
That would have been kind of funny, but then that also would have made the ref look kind of stupid, but him saying it was incidental contact, come on, was funny.
Yeah, I just really wish that would have been it, because it would have been one of those things where Sami Zayn could have at least used that for a couple weeks of being like, I beat the United States champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody be like, well, yeah, because you got tripped and they called the DQ, but I still beat him, like, in that whole thing. Like, at least, like, it would have been a win, and it would have been a win that Sami Zayn needed.
Yeah.
Because then it could have just furthered the chicken shit heel aspect of his character.
The women's champions were up next as Sasha Banks defeated Asuka. I also loved this match. Like,
this was my match of the night.
It's a close second for me. Yeah. But because it also told a really, really good story. I think Sasha and Asuka work really well together in general. And to finally see Sasha actually win, she finally beat Asuka like clean, was cool. And I was really happy that we didn't get the Carmella interference that I was convinced was going to happen. And instead, this was just a really, really great wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
This was another Team Raw versus Team SmackDown as the women faced off. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lana, Lacey Evans, and Peyton Royce defeated Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Bayley, and Natalya. And this is like, if I could remove all of the Lana stuff, this would be one of the better Survivor Series team matches, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you get Peyton Royce pinning Bayley in an upset, which, one, you get heel Bayley yelling at Team Raw about how excited she is that she got Pyro and they didn't. That was...
I got sparklers.
Just, holy crap, heel Bayley is everything to me.
And like, then anytime a SmackDown person came out next to her, she would just point at her arm and be like, I'm the captain.
Look, did you see I'm the captain? Like,
just... Oh my god, I loved it so much.
But so yeah, the match itself was really good. I liked, except for what they did with Lana. Like, how do you simultaneously give someone the biggest win of their career and still manage to make them look utterly useless and pathetic? Because I figured one of two things was going to happen. Either she was going to get ricocheted in the build to Brock Lesnar, where it was weeks of, you don't deserve this match. You were going to get eaten alive. Why are you in this? You don't deserve this spot. You don't deserve this match. You're going to be terrible. And it was like, oh wow, they're so underestimating him. What if he actually beats Lesnar? And then he loses to Lesnar immediately. And it was just like, oh wow, you just shit on this dude for weeks and then didn't let him even try to prove people wrong. I figured it was going to be that, or it was going to be, okay, Lana is the sole survivor. They don't tag her in. Like, she can't do anything, but she comes in and beats like two or three people to win the match, like legit win the match. And instead, she tags in like a couple minutes in, kind of gets beat up a little bit. Like, she gets a couple things of offense, but nothing super impressive or meaningful. Starts to get beat up, gets tagged out, and then is bullied by her entire team to stand on the ring steps. They wouldn't even let her stand on the apron for the rest of the match. And then it comes down to Bianca Belair as the final member against Team Raw. She passes out to the Karafuji clutch. Karafuji? Yeah. I never say it wrong.
No matter what.
Yeah, to Shayna Baszler's submission finisher. But she falls into the ropes that's supposed to be a rope break. Shayna doesn't break the hold, gets disqualified. So then Nia Jax comes in, they brawl around ringside. She ends up dumping Jax over the barricade. And then, but still, they both, it's a double count out, which means that Lana is the only person left on the team, so she is the sole survivor, having not contributed in any meaningful way whatsoever.
Yup.
And I hated happened. It. I hated it. I hated that. I really wish that they would have either, like, nope, we don't believe in you as a wrestler, so we're just going to shut it down immediately, or, hey, we're actually going to do something cool with you, and... like showcase what you can do. You know, you have that the super touching chronicle where she talks about all of the mistreatment that she gets online by friggin' losers on the internet, and it's just like you could do something with her to make her super likable if you've decided. I think she, personally, to me, I like her better as a heel. I think that's a more natural role for her, and I think she thrives there. But if you're trying to do this babyface thing, then like, I didn't like it. I really, really did not like it. I think it could be so much more. And am I insane? Am I imagining? Wasn't she the number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship anyway? Like, didn't she?
I don't know.
I thought she, like, fluked away into winning that. And then, but I could be wrong. I could be just wildly misremembering that. But then on Raw, Asuka was like, no, I want to fight you. I'll defend the championship against you. I'd be happy to. And then that just gets turned into a tag match because Baszler and Jax attack during the match. But this was, could have been really great. I just think it was a squandered opportunity.
Yeah, it was just like, it was the fucking seriously moment of that's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you chose to do with this.
Yeah, sure is.
And they were like, yeah, sure, that's what we're doing.
And then the main event for wrestling purposes, you know, of course we talked about the Undertaker farewell already, but the SmackDown Universal Champion and the WWE Champion face off as Roman Reigns defeated, Drew McIntyre. And also, this is probably third place for me of match of the night. I thought it was a really, really good encounter. I stand by everything that we talked about last week, where I think that this shouldn't have happened here with, you know, 2 weeks of build. I think this could be a Mania main event that has kind of been squandered, and especially now where it's two guys who really shouldn't lose at all. But as far as finishes go, I think the finish was fine. Ref bump, Jey Uso comes out, hits Drew with a super kick, which allows Roman to lock in the guillotine choke, which I think is a fantastic submission finisher for him, because it's,
oh yeah,
it's devastating, it's brutal, and it's effective. It's vicious, I should say. And Drew, again, does not tap out. He passes out instead. The match is awarded to Roman. Not a huge fan of having two people refuse to tap out, so it leads to a pass out back-to-back. Like, that seems like there was a miscommunication in producers there. Just because typically that's the kind of thing, really, you should only see once on a show, much less in back-to-back matches.
Yeah, the only thing that you can say in defense of that is that it didn't lead to a loss whenever Belair did it, if that makes sense. Like, it was not the end of the match there, whereas this one very much was the end.
Sure. And I get that, but still.
I understand what you were saying, and you were absolutely right. Like, if I was in a locker room and I said, hey, we're going to do this, and then somebody else was like, no, I'm doing this, like, I'd be like, all right, we're going to do something else then.
Yeah.
Because, or, like, you know, like you said, you don't usually want to see that more than once on a show.
And like, specifically, if it was a thing, like, you know, if it was a CCW locker room, and it's like, oh, hey, we have this idea, Jason would very much say, oh, no, that's actually the finish to this match. Like, I want that to be the finish to this match. You guys need to figure, this is what I, he would either say, this is what I want you to do, or you need to come up with something else. Just because, that's just kind of a, seems like a very, like, not a rookie mistake, but like a basic rule that got overlooked.
You don't want to do the same thing. You don't want to do almost the exact same thing as someone else. Yeah. Which, again, it's just different enough to where I could see where somebody would be like, well, no, we did it differently.
Right.
Be like, you're not wrong. No, but no, you're also not right.
See, theirs is dun 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 dun. Dun, mine is dun 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 dun.
There's a hi-hat in between the domes.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I thought this was a great match. I'm such a fan of Roman's new character. I love Drew I've been a fan of Drew McIntyre since the Chosen One days, like, so this is great for me.
This was the moment where I realized why Roman's teeth were so why it always was weird to me with his new teeth. It very much reminds me of the Rugrats episode where the goose got a hold of Grandpa Pickle's teeth. It's all I see. And it's not like they look good. He doesn't look goofy. It's just there's so much teeth now.
I will not just sit by and let you slander the head of the table, our tribal chief. He is handsome and he is perfect, and I love him.
He is, and his teeth are great. I'm just saying, I'm not used to him being so perfect, and it's all I can look at.
Just
now.
Let me like Roman finally.
Doing amazing. This is the best he's ever done. It's like, and not saying that his face stuff was bad, but like, he's such a, the way he looks like such a dickhead. None of the fucking Shield guys are convincing faces unless they are just being badasses. And they didn't let Roman just be a badass when he was a face.
I'm so glad you finished that statement the way you did, because I was about to be like, oh, sir, I'm going to, have you not heard the word of our Lord and Savior, John Moxley?
Well, yeah. And like, look at Seth Rollins. Whenever Seth Rollins was Kingslayer Seth Rollins, fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
But the second that he was just like white, like, just ultra babyface Seth Rollins, he wasn't as fun as the top face. Well, like when he was doing his stuff with Ziggler for the IC belt, amazing. But whenever he was just holding he was WWE champion. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the Universal.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he just had that belt and he had that while with the Becky Lynch, he got lost to me where I wasn't like, it's not as fun, because he just wasn't being a badass. He was just being a generic babyface. They never let Roman be a badass and be a babyface at the same time.
No, I mean, they did, but it was very much a forced thing. Like, because they were still scripting his promos for him very clearly and doing really hacky jokes. Whereas this seems more... I don't think he is actually a monster who would, you know, write off his entire family. But this feels more, like, legitimate. Like, he gets... Yeah. When you see him do interviews and stuff where he's himself, he is more laid back and just kind of naturally cool. Not as cool as Samoa Joe, because Samoa Joe is the most effortlessly cool human being on the planet.
Yeah.
But this seems more... His promo style feels more organic. And that just comes across. You know, there are certain things that you cannot script and you cannot teach people to do. And he has all of those elements. So... but that was Survivor Series. Overall, I really enjoyed the show, other than the stuff that I really didn't enjoy, but it didn't ultimately, like, bring down my, like, we don't do a grading scale, which maybe we could do, who knows. Do you want to see that? Let us know if you want to see something like that. But yeah. But that's it. That's the news. I didn't see anything super breaking. All of the rising posts on, Reddit are show clips and things like that. So we're gonna get out of here. I try to get it under an hour and I failed again. One day
it was G4. It was G4's one week fault.
Yeah, that's true. It's like that one episode where we went crazy long, but it was because we were talking about William Regal. But that's gonna do it for us. Of course, podzilla1985.com. subscribe to us on any podcasting subscription service that you use, and while you're there subscribing to us, make sure you check out our friend Kevin at my 123 cents. He does a great show every week, and of course, if you check out his most recent episode, you can catch Mr. 100 himself, Shannon Young, finally making his much-awaited, much-wanted appearance on My 123 Cents. So go and check that out as well once you're finished up with us here. Of course, you can give us a like and a follow on all of the social medias. We are not the most active on them, but the number goes up, and we like the number going up. So, you know, twitter.com/podzilla1985, facebook.com/podzilla1985, reddit.com/podzilla1985. We've got a subreddit going. We post the episodes there. We just do our general, you know, shit postery. You can find that there as well. So
go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, sorry. I was going to, and then just, of course, prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony. Get your Dalton Anthony shirts. And then, of course, twitch.tv/the5starman with the number 5, to catch me when I stream. Yeah. My streaming schedule has cut down because I'm genuinely nervous, because I've seen horror stories about streaming with the next gen consoles. So, I will get back to that because there is stuff that I want to do with Twitch. So.
And with the Pro Wrestling Tees, sorry to add this, Black Friday sale going on, 20% off my shirts. Buy some. I got to afford Christmas gifts. 3 great shirts, 1 great price. It's $19.99 with 20% off. That's $16 plus some shipping. Buy yourself a Dalton Anthony shirt. While you're over there, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask, is there any specific, like, coupon code, or is it just the Black Friday sale? All the prices are... Actually, off already.
I got a Pro Wrestling Tees text message thread going on. Let me see what it says. No coupon needed. You get a free autograph on orders over $100. So buy 2 of my shirts, then go to Big Lee's World on Pro Wrestling Tees, buy 1 of his shirts.
That's what I was getting ready to follow it up with. So there you go.
And then go to My 123 Cents, buy a My 123 Cents shirt and a Stride Pro Wrestling shirt. And then, like, go get a Marco Stunt shirt from AEW. You should be over $100 at this point. Get a free autograph. I don't know from who, but just go get one.
But you get an autograph.
That was my best plug. That was all. That was the best work.
No,
5 years on the show.
Hey, you did it. You nailed it. It's great. But so that's going to do it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you who have stuck with us, who are joining us for the first time, you have no idea what your support means to us. Thank you. Thank you so much. Please have a safe Thanksgiving and Black Friday. If you can do your shopping online, I highly recommend that. Avoid the crowds. So, but take care of yourselves, take care of each other. And until next week, I don't know what the schedule is for the rest of this week. I'm assuming they're going to take tomorrow off, but maybe they won't. If you've subscribed to us on your RSS feed, if there is a new episode, it'll just show up like magic, and then you can check it out then. But until next time, I know for sure we'll be doing Nerd Up on Monday, unless something comes up, so I don't know for sure. Who knows? Hey, I'm rambling. Bye, everybody.